As we celebrate Mother's Day today, I want to acknowledge that when we gather as the people of God, this may be a day with mixed emotions. For some, it is joy. For others, it is grief. Mothers have a big role in our lives, and as such, our griefs and our disappointments can also be big. I want you to know that as we celebrate the women who have influenced us, we are looking today beyond our own biological mothers, and we are looking at all the women who influence the faith of others. Norma was telling me that throughout the years, there have even been seasons where people have celebrated churches that have influenced faith, not just people. So imagine a Mother's Day celebrating the church as the mother of their faith, helping them grow and persevere in faith. So in many ways, today is not simply a day for the women, it is also for the men, as we are all able to grow in faith, to persevere in faith, and to help others do likewise. Today's scripture readings announce the meaning of Jesus' resurrection to people who were living in difficult circumstances. Just as women and churches have lived as examples that have helped us persevere in living out our faith, our scripture readings put into words the examples and stories and teachings that will help us learn and grow. So let's look first at our passage in Acts. Paul had been teaching in a Jewish region, but then there were uproars. They didn't like this whole talk about Jesus. So the believers sent Paul away to keep him safe. And he was taken to Athens, a Greek area. And as he was settling in, he was distressed. He saw idols everywhere he went. So Paul, being unable to stay quiet about the gospel, went and found a space to argue in the Jewish synagogues and in the marketplaces. Now, fortunately, it was the norm to debate and have intellectual debate, so he was okay doing this at that point. And as he debated, they asked him, "Would you come and share in a larger context?" And so there he was, teaching in front of the crowds of the city, as they were intellectually curious about this new idea. And there Paul proclaimed the good news of Jesus. He speaks to the culturally sophisticated people, the Gentiles of Athens, and he starts on their terms by pointing out an altar to the unknown God, something they were familiar with. And I pause and wonder, who has come and met you on your terms? Who has come into your world and taken the time to get to know what you need to hear so they could speak to you? Paul's sermon here departs from the pattern that had been established by Peter, Stephen, and Philip. Rather than starting with the Old Testament Hebrew scripture, here Paul begins with some Greek philosophy. And he speaks to people who are trapped in idolatry, worshiping the idols all around them. Yet, as he speaks and enters their culture, he is not simply affirming their culture. Rather, he is also challenging them to grow. Paul challenges those who think of gods as so distant and uninvolved in society to hardly matter. And he challenges those who think all religions are simply different expressions of the divine. And he preaches that the creator of earth, the God of Israel, is the one true God who through Jesus' resurrection is bringing about justice and a world that we long for, a justice that is brought through a self-giving love. This God does not live in shrines made by human hands. This God is Lord of heaven and earth. This God isn't served by human hands as if God needs anything. Rather, it is God who gives life and breath to all. Paul even quotes some of their poets who said, "We too are God's offspring." And so he challenges them. If we too are God's offspring, why do we think of God as a mere image made of gold or silver or stone? That doesn't reflect the complexity with which we are made. And Paul moves through images of God as creator, as preserver, and as righteous judge. And he speaks to them in a way that they can connect with. Interestingly enough, some scoff because while they were familiar with the idea of an eternal spirit, the resurrection of the dead was just a strange concept that they had troubles relating to. Sometimes, even when we start in a familiar place, there's parts of the gospel we find hard. Yet some, despite their challenges there, became believers. And Luke remains convinced as he shares this, that the good news presented here is the good news we seek, and it points to the one whom we seek, whether we know it or not. And he highlights an irony. Even though it's just some that respond, ironically, God is not far away from any of them. Paul took the time to get to know them, to get to know their culture, and to speak into it. And I wonder if the Spirit is prompting you to take the time to get to know someone's world here today so that you can speak into their world, staying faithful to the gospel and connecting with where they're at. In our reading in Peter, Peter recalls Christ's suffering, and he speaks to Christ's followers who are suffering because they've chosen to be Christ's followers. He reminds them that they are participating in Jesus' suffering, death, and triumph. Peter describes situations in which just people are being treated unjustly. Do good. Who's going to hurt you for that? Peter asks it as if it were that simple. And yet it's clear that Peter doesn't think it's that simple because he continues on right away with, even if you are harmed for doing good, continue on in doing good anyhow. Be assured when this happens that you are in the right. You can continue to live with a clear conscience even if you are suffering for doing what is good. You do not need to be afraid because our confidence can be in Christ, who has also been through suffering. And as Peter invites us to bless one another, to bless those who hurt us, to do good even when it costs us, we are invited to live out our faith in a way that words can't grasp. It's deeper than what we can just say. And yet it's not in place of. I think of Francis of Assisi's quote, "Preach the gospel always, and when necessary, use words." Peter is first of all calling the people to live a life that defies our human instinct. We tend to retaliate when people hurt us. Instead, can we bless? Can we share God's love? Can we somehow pause that hurt and share our hurt to God so that we can respond in love? Can we do what is right and good, even when it is costly? And yet there's also a place for words here too. Peter says, when you live this way, be ready, because you may get questions. Be ready to give an answer to your hope. Apologia. way of articulating our faith intelligibly and responsibly. Why is it that we can bless? Why is it that we can do good, even in the most likely of times? I know for myself, it's certainly not because I'm such a great person, though I would love for it to be so. But those moments where I see Christ working in me, beyond what is happening inside me and my own pain when I am struggling, we want to be able to give a reason for that kind of hope. A reason to be able to behave in a way that is beyond what we even think is possible with Christ as our helper. And we want to be able to give a reason with gentleness and reverence. I love how Peter includes that. So we can share our hope respectfully and kindly, not knowing what the result will be. Just like Paul didn't know as he shared whether he would again be kicked out of town, whether others would come to believe. We don't know the outcomes, but we're called to be faithful in how we live our faith and in how we give an answer for our hope. Peter's text ends with a foreshadow of Christ's ascension. It's coming. It's coming. It will have already happened in Peter's writing, but just a reminder. In our John passage, the ascension hasn't yet happened, but it's coming close. It's actually a time where this passage was originally written before Jesus had died on the cross and come back to life 3 days later. But Jesus says, there's tough times coming. I need you to be aware. Living our faith and sharing our faith is not always going to be straightforward. In the John 16, Jesus is instructing his disciples to persevere as he prepared to leave them. Live with the promise that the Spirit will comfort you. A time was coming where the disciples would be put out of the synagogues and even killed. Killed because these people who killed them thought they were doing so in worshiping God. They were that confused. They're killing the people proclaiming Christ because they thought that was what God wanted them to do. And Jesus says, they're going to do this because they don't truly know God the Father. So Jesus tells the disciples, be ready. Be ready to persevere even in such cases. Even as people will hurt you in the name of God. That'd be a tough message to hear. And then, yet, they've spent all this time with Jesus. The disciples are learning, and they're probably having more moments of confusion than clarity at times. And then Jesus says these difficult things, like, it's to your advantage that I am going away soon. And I can't imagine what the disciples were thinking in that moment. They probably wanted to argue with Jesus, like, what are you talking about? I'm still trying to figure out what you're saying, and you're telling me I have almost no more time with you. But I will send the Spirit to you, and the Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. And the Spirit will guide you into all truth. The Spirit is coming. But there is more to ascension as well. And this week we were meeting as a pastoral team, and we were talking about the significance of ascension. And I thought Joel did such a good job of describing it to us that I've asked him if he would come up and take a moment to talk about it, because we also have something special and different happening this week. And while this isn't the time for announcements, you heard at the beginning the part about the Ascension Retreat coming up. I want to highlight it to your attention, because I think while this is a new initiative, this is a piece that can help form us. If we want to persevere, if we want to live out our faith, if we want to bless when it costs us, if we want to do good when it seems so unlikely in our human instincts, we need to be connected to our source. And an opportunity to gather and worship and pray and spend extra time with prayer and reflection toward ascension is an opportunity for us to strengthen our faith. And while it's not the only opportunity, I did want to make sure we had a little extra time to hear why ascension, as you reflect and see whether this is something that you could take part in as your continued piece of faith. And maybe one day someone will be standing there telling stories about the impact that you made in their life in this church many years before. So Joel, if you could share that with us, that'd be great.
So Kaylee just said everything. I'm not really sure what is actually left to say. Other than beginning Tuesday night, we will begin a series of reflections on passages from the New Testament that suggest that without the ascension, there is no salvation. And maybe that is a little strange for us to think about. We think perhaps that when we think of salvation, it's accomplished on the cross. But if you were listening to St. 1 Peter, he connects salvation to something, to the whole story. There's whole sections of all of Hebrews makes no sense without the ascension. Our salvation depends on the ascension as much as it does on all the other parts of Jesus' life. If you are interested in spending a few days reflecting together on the ascension, learning more about it, if you are interested in working with other people to incorporate prayer more regularly into your life, or if you enjoy praying with others, I invite you to come and set aside those few days ahead of Ascension Thursday to pray with us throughout the day. We can do this remotely. You can do this in person. You can do this from your workplace. We can make your workplace here. We're just trying this out. It's a soft launch. We're going to be working out the bugs. If you want to take part in that, I do need to know so that I can give you links to work from home or to pray from home or from your workplace so that I know how much food to prepare for Thursday night when we celebrate together. And or if you want to make your workplace here at the church, whether that's volunteering and doing some chores or whether that's your own work and you want to set up a workstation here, all of those things we're willing to try. So let me know.
Thank you, Joel. I think with this being something new, so new and so different, it just helps to have a little extra explanation. And hopefully this will be some of the joy in our lives that helps us in persevering when the tough times come. Or maybe it's a reprieve from the tough times to come and work with some fellow believers and continue your work remotely as we have our prayer times in between work times. So let's take a moment to pray together. Lord God, thank you for the women and men that you have placed in our lives that have showed us what it means to live it out our faith, who have lived the gospel with their lives. Lord, though it is not easy, continue to form us. Take our hurts, our brokenness, our disappointments. Take all that is within us. Take what is good and shape all of this so that we may also live our lives more fully for you. Lord, help us to bless all that we meet, even when it is not easy to do so. And Lord, help us to do good when it comes easily and when it is costly. Lord, we acknowledge that we need your Spirit. And so to that end, we look forward to celebrating Pentecost soon too. Lord, by your strength, by your mercy, would you give us the privilege of being part of others' faith stories too? It's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.